You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Cincinnati Bengals 16-10. We'll talk about how they did it, if the offense actually improved despite the low scoring. It's their first 400-yard game total offense since 2020. To do that, I talk with Ray Fittipaldo. He's still in Cincinnati as we record this episode. We'll talk about the offense, with a defense, how it continues to hold teams to 20 points or less, and a new look at that playoff picture that's looking very friendly for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find all our written work at post-gazette.com, including Ray Fittipaldo's report card grades that you can find right there, as well as all of the work that our team did while covering this game in Cincinnati. The Steelers won 16-10. We're going to break down a lot of different elements of that win on today's show. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. And this show is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you know that you're going to be treated to a special experience. They have over 20 televisions to watch any sporting event that you could want to watch. And they have over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being from the local area, and 80 of those local beers being available on tap, and they're being switched out every single week so that you can get new options every time you go there. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. You can also order a steak on a stone meal. They're an amazing place on them. More on them later. Ray, let's talk about this Steelers win, because the offense at the end of the day still just scored 16 points, and that's even technically lower than their 16.6 point per game average going into this game. But they also gained over 400 yards, 421 to be exact. And Kenny Pickett, I thought this was the smoothest we've seen him, 24 of 33, 278 yards, and he distributed the football, looked like he understood a plan of attack in this game. Do you think the offense actually took a step forward, or was this just them taking advantage of a bad defense?
No, I definitely think there was a lot of good that came out of this game. I mean, Kenny Pickett attacking the middle of the field, Kenny Pickett throwing to his tight ends. I mean, Pat Freiermuth was really, really good in this game. We haven't seen that Pat Freiermuth since the end of last season. So, you know, I think the main difference, and the players talked about this in the locker room after the game, there was a different rhythm in Mike Sullivan's play calling. And that gets the offense into a different rhythm. And they weren't necessarily bashing Matt Canada. They were just acknowledging that there was a different feel for this game. So, no, I thought Mike did a really, really good job. Got Kenny into the game early. And, you know, even though they stumbled and there was a miscommunication with Deontay on another third down and they only had 3 points at halftime, it just felt different. And then in the second half, you know, they finally come through. They get that touchdown drive. They possess the football. Mm-hmm. And they get two other field goal drives. So, really, really good second half, but I think overall from start to finish, I agree with you. This was Kenny's probably his best game. I think the Raiders game was pretty good, but probably his best game, and I think most definitely from a yards perspective, the offensive best game overall.
And another perspective, you brought it up there, time of possession. The Steelers at this point, they had only had two games where they won the time of possession. And both times, it was barely, it wasn't even 31 minutes. Because, you know, 60 minutes of football, you need at least 30 plus to get it. Both of those other games were 30 minutes and some change. Never even 31 minutes. This game, 37 minutes and 17 seconds with the football. That let the Bengals only have the ball for 22 minutes and 43 seconds. That is a big difference in winning the game. The Steelers also went 8 of 17 officially in third downs. One of those third downs was Kenny Pickett kneeling down at the end of the game. They really went 50% on third downs. That is a huge part of this win, just as much as the defense, and we'll get to them in a minute. But to me, Kenny Pickett being able to understand the plan of attack, going through his reads, finding different guys, getting the ball there, and then, of course, we got to talk about Najee Harris in the run game, them getting going too. All of that played into this defense not having to continue to take the field. And how many times have you covered the Steelers, Ray, when they've had to keep taking the field and keep taking the field, and then all of a sudden, like the Browns game last week, a quarterback that shouldn't be beating you finds a couple passes late in the game, and then you lose to that team. Yeah. I think that's where the offense deserves credit, and T.J. Watt even gave them credit for how much he got to sit on the bench in this game.
Yeah, and I failed to mention Najee Harris's best game probably too.
Yeah.
He finished with 99 yards. He had 100, then he had a negative run that got him back down to 99. But he ran really hard today. I thought he hit the hole really well. Wasn't the best game for Jaylen Warren. You know, usually it's Jaylen who has the better yards per carry average. But Najee had two runs of 20 yards or more. He's had seven of those this season, Chris.
Yeah.
So he's been more explosive this season. And, you know, we talked about the missed opportunities for the offense in the first half. You know, Jaylen Warren fumbles that football. Deontay Johnson drops a touchdown pass. So there's, you know, 7 or 3 points taken off the board there because you turn it over after you drop a touchdown pass. There were penalties in this game that kind of killed drives. There were holding on punt returns that set them back, you know, further than they should have been. So, when you take into account all the, you know, mistakes on the periphery, things that you can potentially clean up, I think there's a lot of potential, you know, that things can get better. Now, I know this was Cincinnati. They're one of the worst defensive-ranked teams in the NFL. I get it. But just from the way it looked and felt out there today, Chris, you know, I think there's definitely some things that the Steelers can build on.
I agree. When you look at that and your point on – 20 yards. I don't have the numbers for all the NFL players of 20-yard runs or more, but 15-yard runs or more. He had 9 coming into this week. That was tied with Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, and Jahmyr Gibbs for third most in the NFL behind Mostert and McCaffrey, who had 11. Today, he got 2 more of those runs, so he would have 11, depending on how the rest of the NFL did. He could be tied for first place, probably not, maybe just in second place, but still really impressive stuff from Najee Harris. Like you said, I thought he ran hard, and you saw that there was a plan. He understood it, and I think that's where this comes back to is, you know, everyone's going to talk about Matt Canada and his first game being gone at 400 yards, and then but there's 16 points and all this stuff. But I thought the biggest takeaway was the Steelers looked like they understood what their plan was going into this game. Like Kenny Pickett knew where he was going with the ball. The offensive line knew what they needed to do to try to get Najee Harris key yards and key situations. And that can be the difference maker of confidence and making plays in big moments. And sure, like you said, the Johnson drop, which however you feel about it, if it was a catch, I thought live it was a drop. I know CBS said that Mike Tomlin should have challenged it. And sure, you know, I think he should have, but and he said he didn't see it enough or something like that. I think you could say that. But either way, you hold on to the football there, you score a touchdown, or Jaylen Warren doesn't fumble in his situation. The Steelers might win this one going away. And there were other opportunities throughout the game where I think just miscues here and there prevented them from building a bigger lead at different points. But you can't deny, like you and I are pointing out here, Ray, it looked structurally better. They looked more confident. They gained more yards. And if that can continue, if they can build from this platform and make less of those key mistakes, this can be an offense that does put up points. And they've got the Cardinals and the Patriots the next 2 weeks at home to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 2-game road trip against AFC North foes. You know, you want to come out of there 2-0, but you're 1-1. And, you know, I got a feeling they'll probably look back on that Browns game and, you know, they'll regret that at some point. But, you know, what's in front of you now? 2 home games, 2 very winnable home games. I know the Cardinals got got their doors blown off today against the Rams. Patriots didn't look good again in that game against the Giants. So these are two very winnable games where you can, you know, sort of start stacking wins until that tough, you know, final month or so of the season. So, I think overall, too, one more thing to point out about this offense, one of the weird stats of the season.
Okay.
First time all year, you have 100 yards rushing and 200 yards passing in the same game. Now, that's hard to believe they didn't achieve that in the first 10 games, but there was balance there, right? You know, we've seen the run game be really good, the pass game stink, and vice versa. This is the first time all season where it actually looked like you were a competent offense, both passing and running the football.
I'm right with you. I think that that's the biggest thing. And I think that's the biggest thing the Steelers have needed all season. You look at the Eagles and the way that they win, and they won a great battle against the Bills just before we recorded this. But the Eagles, the way they win is with balance. Jalen Hurts makes plays, but so does DeAndre Swift. They win it on the ground and in the air. Spectacular stuff from them. Not saying the Steelers are even close to the Eagles right now, but I think that's the kind of offense you want to strive for in today's NFL. Both ways, hurting opponents, finding ways to do it. I think there is the potential for that. We got to talk about the Steelers defense, though, because as good as the offense looked at times with moving the ball, the Steelers defense put some clamps down on a team that they were supposed to. They shut down the run, got after the quarterback, made some big plays, and we'll talk about how they're doing that even with some key backups playing in certain spots. That more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter and Ray Fittipato. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, and I do mean that. I love going to Mike's Beer Bar. You go there, and if you're ever looking to watch a game, whether it's college basketball, college football, you got conference championships coming up, you want to catch one of those big games, there's no better place to go to than Mike's. There's going to be so many different things to watch, as well as hockey, NBA, other NFL games. It's an amazing place. When you're there, you can try one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Western Pennsylvania area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap, so you can keep trying them all the time and finding new looks. You can do one of the flights that we always go over, a Friday flight, every Friday episode that we do here in the North Shore Drive podcast. It's such an amazing experience. You go there, or you can get their food, steak on a stone. It's an amazing option where you bring your choice cut of steak and it's brought on a heated stone, so that every time you cut off a piece, you press it into the stone and you choose how well you want done every single bite of steak. It's an amazing place. Go to Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato. All right, Ray, let's talk about this defense here, because sure, you could say they faced another backup quarterback and blah, 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 but the Steelers have yet again gone into a game and held a team to 20 points or less in today's NFL, where the offense has been prioritized. That is now 7 straight games dating back to their win over the Ravens back in early October. So we're talking about they will have gotten through after the 1st of October and their loss to the Texans, they will have gotten through almost 2 entire months without allowing more than 20 points to an NFL team. I truly think that is remarkable and speaks a lot to the preparation that this group is showing in their work on the field.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. When you look at it, they've had to overcome a lot of injuries to make that happen. I mean, we've talked the last couple of weeks about, you know, the season-ending injuries at inside linebacker. Today you saw backup safety Trenton Thompson make one of the biggest plays of the game. I mean, at that point the Steelers were losing. They were driving in Steelers territory, big third down play, and he intercepts the ball, and that leads directly to the Steelers' go-ahead touchdown and the lead they would never relinquish after that. So, you know, Trenton Thompson has done it. Michael Walker has done it the last couple of weeks. I know Landon Roberts was a a starter, but I mean, he's in a bigger role now.
Much bigger role.
He's playing great. I mean, he's had team high 6 tackles today. So they've dealt with a lot of issues in terms of injuries and, you know, guys being out of the lineup, and to still hold teams to 20 points or fewer for basically, you know, 2 months straight, that's quite the feat. And they're going to need it, because we just talked about the offense still having to iron some things out. You know, I think the offense can and should get better with Mike Sullivan and Eddie Faulkner at the helm now. But, you know, Chris, if this team's going to go anywhere over the final 6 weeks of the season and get into the playoffs and do some damage in the playoffs once they get there, this defense is going to have to continue to hold teams down, hold them to 20 points or fewer. That's going to be the formula for them to win games in December and in January as well.
Going into this game, I believe they were giving up an average of 18.6 points per game. Still a great rate. That had them at 7th in the NFL. So when I look at that, I see – actually, no, excuse me. If the Steelers are – they're 7-4-0, so that is accounting for their most recent game. So I'd be intrigued to see – we see some of these teams out here like the Browns that are ahead of them that didn't have – their last game count against them. I think the Steelers, there's a chance they could end up as technically a top five defense when all is said and done with this football weekend. But either way, they are limiting teams to points. And another aspect of this that Ray, that I think goes into coaching and adjustments and things like that, the Steelers are one of the best second half defenses in the NFL. Going into this game, they were giving up an average 7.4 points in the second half all season long. That was third best in the NFL, and they allowed only 3 points in this game. So that average will come down a little bit. They only allowed 3 points in the second half, a last game, I believe, as well. So this is a team that you may find a way to hurt them early on in a weird way, or in a way that like fits your structure, but they find ways to adjust and give their offense a chance. And that's where I think there is a real potential for the Steelers to be a dangerous team late in the season here, because if this offense can figure something out, if you can see them take a step forward, you know, the passing game, realize what they're actually supposed to be doing, Kenny Pickett playing just better football, just taking what's there, the run game continuing to bully people. They've now run for 150 yards for 4 straight games. And you balance that with this kind of defense.
Yeah.
That is a team that I think could do a lot of damage to maybe anyone but the Chiefs. And even the Chiefs kind of look vulnerable right now. It took them a little bit before they took control against the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday. So I really think that what the defense is doing, it's giving the Steelers a chance to compete in almost every game that they play right now.
Yeah, and think about this, you know, with Cam Hayward and Minkah Fitzpatrick either being out or being less than the normal selves.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward had his first sack of the season today.
Yep.
First sack in week 11, or excuse me, in week 12. Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's probably going to be back next week, he hasn't produced a turnover yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if Cam is ever going to get back to the Cam we've seen in seasons past. I mean, it's a tough injury to come back from in season. But if he just continue to play a little bit better, and if he can raise his level of play, and you know once Fitzpatrick comes back that he's going to start to, you know, get into a rhythm and be that playmaking safety, all of a sudden you're top 3 stars. It's not just a one-man show anymore. It's not the T.J. Watt show. It's the T.J. Watt plus Minkah Fitzpatrick plus Cam Hayward show. So, that's really impressive. You know, what they've done, you know, with the backups. And like I said, Fitzpatrick probably due back next week. Montrevious Adams maybe due back next week. I mean, both those guys were limited in practice next week. I mean, there's a chance that this defense can get healthier and can get better over the final 6 weeks of the season.
It would be certainly a welcomed boost to the Steelers right now to see just some people getting healthy at this point in the season. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's been one game where we've seen Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, and T.J. Watt play from start to finish. No. And if you had told someone that going into this season, you'd think the Steelers would be in a lot of trouble, because typically those have been the guys that have carried this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. You're correct, because Cam got injured week 1. Mm-hmm. You know, Minkah went out early in the week that Cam came back. So, yeah, I mean, it's just been One big, shuffling of the deck there for that Steelers defensive coaching staff. And I think Terrell Austin deserves a ton of credit. I know they're not up there, Chris, in total defense. I know they have some issues from time to time with communication. But overall, when you look at it, what they've done with the cards that have been dealt, it's been really, really impressive.
I agree. I think that there's stuff that goes into it, and you're even seeing some of the young players contribute. Joey Porter Jr. Sure, he got flexed on for one play by Ja'Marr Chase, but outside of those two tip passes that were kind of like fluke plays that Ja'Marr Chase caught, he had two passes for like 40 yards in this game. Yeah. That's not a whole lot, and for Ja'Marr, and I know it's a backup quarterback, but that's the guy that's supposed to open everything up for the Bengals offense, and Joey Porter Jr. made him kind of not matter too much in this game. You also have Nick Herbig in this game. That sack that he had on Jake Browning where he broke loose and he was trying to buy time, how quickly he burst up and made that play there. The Steelers continue to find answers from all sorts of different people. It's not just your typical superstars, you guys that you paid the big money to. It's from guys who are learning to play or adjusting to play with your team. And I think that speaks a lot to the camaraderie and the culture that they're building right now inside that locker room.
Yep, and it's you didn't mention Keanu Benton.
I forgot all about him.
All those rookies have come on, right? There was a lot of criticism of that coaching staff in the first month of the season. Why aren't you playing Porter? Why aren't you playing Benton? All three of those guys stepped up and I thought had really good football games today. And I haven't looked at the snap count yet, but we might be at a point now where Nick Herbig, plays more than Marcus Golden. Just from the eye test, it seemed like Herbig was out there more today. So we'll see what transpires over the course of the rest of the season. But that rookie class is looking really, really good. And specifically those rookie defenders have stepped up and played really well lately.
Don't look now, but the other thing that looks good, the Steelers' playoff chances. And people might not have thought that a few weeks, maybe even last week, after the loss to the Browns, but they're 7-4. As we record this, they are, and I believe going into this weekend, regardless of what happens on Sunday Night Football, we're recording this before Sunday Night Football has concluded. They're the 5 seed in the playoffs right now. And their path to the playoffs involves a lot of things that I think work in their favor. We'll explain why that is and why also the AFC North division is not necessarily decided either. We'll talk about that here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi coming at you here. But first, I want to remind you that we're also brought to you by Savinus Cain & Colucci. They're the mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Cain & Colucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co. We're buying tickets to your favorite events. Shouldn't be stressful because GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You ever had to buy tickets for an event and you're running up to the last minute, but you weren't sure what kind of tickets you get, so you're trying to look at scalp and you're like, is this the ton of tickets I want? Don't ever do that. Go to Game Time. It's an app you can download right to your phone or go to a website called GameTime.co. And when you're there, you can look at the best prices and find amazing deals there while also seeing the view from your seat so that you're not getting scammed out at anything. So you're seeing everything in front of you. You're getting amazing prices. And they're so confident in those prices that they promise you a best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference of those prices. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase. Or go to the website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi, talking all things Steelers here after their 16-10 win over the Bengals that advances them to 7-4. Now, again, as we're recording this, the Ravens and the Chargers are playing. The Chargers are up 3-0 right now, but who knows how that game will end. The Chargers are a very weird team that nobody can figure out. Right now, the Steelers, Ray, when you look at these standings, they're right in the thick of everything, and their schedule, I think, is very favorable compared to some of the other opponents. Right now, the Steelers are 7-4. The only teams ahead of them are 8-3 right now. The Chiefs, Jaguars, Dolphins, Ravens, all the division leaders are 8-3. They're 7-4. They have a tiebreaker over the Browns right now because they have a better divisional record. And then the Colts will be the seventh seed at 6-5. Technically, the Texans and the Broncos would both be out of the playoffs right now at 6-5 because of tiebreakers with the Colts. The Bills, with their loss to the Eagles, they fall to 6-6. They have games against the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and the Dolphins. That's a tough schedule. Even if they go 2-1 in that stretch, that's a 7-loss season for them. Meaning the most they can win is 10 games. Meanwhile, you look at this Steelers schedule the rest of the way, Ray, you got back-to-back home games where you're playing the Cardinals at home in a short week, and then you're playing the Patriots at home, and then you got the Colts on the road, and then you play the same Bengals team now in Pittsburgh. And then you go to a Seattle Seahawks team that hasn't been impressive. You have five very winnable games, and then you play the Ravens on the road. This season could very well come. They're only a game back of the Ravens, and if they end up tied with the Ravens and they beat the Ravens, they would have the chance to win the division right there. Meanwhile, the Ravens, they have to play teams like they still have to play in Jacksonville, in San Francisco, against the Dolphins, and all those games leading up to the Steelers game at the end of the season. This is an AFC North division that is still very much within the grasp of the Steelers, and that, to me, is fascinating for this team.
Yeah, that's why that loss to the Browns is going to hurt. I mean, we don't know how it's going to play out. They could come back and win the AFC North, but if they don't, Chris, people are going to look back on that Browns game, and that's going to be the reason. But to your point, the AFC, I don't know if the AFC is as advertised like we thought it was going to be before the season. Like, the Chiefs aren't really the Chiefs with their offense. The Ravens have some warts, but it's extremely competitive and it's extremely close. And you look at all the records, the number one seed could end up having five losses. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And everybody else is going to be it's going to be a jumbled playoff picture until week 18. So it's going to be really exciting down the stretch. I think it's great for Steelers fans, after what happened last season, missing out on the playoffs. I saw a stat before the game started. I think if they won today, Chris, which they did, obviously, their playoff chances would be 76%. Had they lost, they would have been 39%. So just a huge difference in just that win today. And, they're taking advantage, having that third place schedule. These other teams are kind of stumbling over themselves. The Bills can't figure it out. So, the Steelers right now are in very good position, but, they got to take care of business at home against the Cardinals and at home against the Patriots to continue to be in that position.
Yeah, they absolutely have to take care of it. They cannot afford, and these are two teams with each have nine or more losses. You cannot afford to actually, do both these teams have 10 losses right now? No, the Patriots are 2-9. The Cardinals are 2-10. So, yeah, nine or more losses right now. You cannot afford to lose to either of those teams at home. And here's the other thing, Ray. Back to the Steelers specifically, then not just their playoff position, but if the offense figures it out in those two games, if these are two games you can find confidence in. Kyler Murray and that offense, they're not figuring things out much for the Cardinals. The Patriots don't even know who's going to start at quarterback right now. Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones both look terrible. If you can find a rhythm on offense and the defense wins and you find confidence in those games, those can be good sort of situations where you find not only win those games, build confidence and carry that forward, then all of a sudden you're looking at the rest of your schedule and you're saying like, okay, now you have an offense that people really aren't prepared for because no one's seen the fully balanced version of the Steelers. You got the Colts and the Bengals after that. You got a chance to really build something here. And that's where I'm pointing at. Like, don't count the Steelers out from the division race. Don't count them out of getting a really decent seed in these playoffs because a lot of these top teams still have to play each other. The Ravens and the Dolphins and the Chiefs and all these other teams. I'm not saying that they're going to be the one seed. But they might not just win the division. They might be like the 2 or 3 seed in this situation, but them a more favorable playoff matchup at home, which last time that they played a home playoff game was the 2020 game against the Browns.
Yeah, that would be huge. I mean, just looking at it, if you're a 5, 6, or 7 seed, you're going to be playing a tough game on the road. But if you turn that around and, you're a 2 or a 3 seed and maybe, the Bills aren't in the playoffs, who knows, maybe the Texans don't get in the playoffs. Maybe all of a sudden you get a favorable matchup and you can finally break that playoff drought. So, you know, who knows how it's going to turn out. But, you know, like we said, it's going to be an exciting final 6 weeks of the season here. I think the AFC is going to have some really influential games each and every week, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Absolutely. Tune in for all of it because it's going to be a great ride. We have got you all season long here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com, to get all our written work. Ray, thanks so much for joining me here on a late Sunday night. Again, we don't know the results of the Ravens-Chargers game, so excuse us for not having this on the Monday episode of the North Shore Drive podcast. But we'll be back Wednesday breaking things down and getting you looks after we've talked to Mike Tomlin. How are the Steelers looking going into this week? Will they get Minkah Fitzpatrick back? All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Remember, find all our written work at post-gazette.com. Find all our podcasts. We have daily shows coming out from multiple beats here. All our sports writers from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Monday through Friday, even on the weekends, on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Subscribe to this channel to get all of those episodes. Again, I'm back actually tomorrow for our Tuesday mailbag episode of Pitt. Now that football season's done, they fired Frank Cignetti, and basketball season is heating up. We'll talk all of that with Noah Hiles. Then back here Wednesday for the North Shore Drive podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you then right here with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.